Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to this episode of the Trade Show Podcast. Thank you for listening and your continued feedback. If you have suggestions or you want me to dig in with a specific guest, please write to me at shubhanjan@pitch.link or message me on LinkedIn, both links available in the show notes. I'm delighted to introduce our guest today, Marco Barozzi, the founder of Expo Consulting with over three decades in the exhibitions and events industry. He's also the author of the book, Event Marketing at Your Fingertips. Marco returns to the Trade Show Podcast to discuss his recent insightful presentation, 2026, The Year Nothing Changes, Yet Everything Changes.
When I read these reports, and I was thinking about 2025, you know, I think, you know, now the big disruptions maybe are behind us, save from AI, because I think that's another big disruption in my opinion. But the consequences of these disruptions continue, you know. So what I see is, you know, a world where protectionism, geopolitical rivalry, economic fragmentation are becoming, let's say, permanent.
Marco Barozzi is the founder of Expo Consulting with experience of over three decades in the exhibitions and events industry. His journey began with key roles in prestigious companies like the Blenheim Group, Miller Freeman, and Reed Exhibitions. Later, he founded Expo Consulting, helping organizations succeed in the complex and dynamic world of trade shows and events. Over the years, he has collaborated with numerous public institutions, SMEs, and event planners, sharing his expertise in trade show promotion, marketing strategy, project management, and exhibitor training. As the country manager of FIRA Barcelona for the Italian market until 2022 and a faculty member of ICE and ITA, he mentored numerous businesses and individuals, helping them navigate the intricacies of the event marketing landscape. When not immersed in the world of events, Marco enjoys traveling, reading, listening to music, and spending quality time with family and friends. Marco says that these experiences inspires and fuels his curiosity for discovering new ideas and perspectives. Now, on to this insightful episode with Marco Barozzi. Marco, welcome to the Trade Show Podcast again. I'm so happy that I got you back, and I think there is a good reason for having this conversation so quickly. Normally, you know, guests don't come back so quickly after they come on a show. But I was really intrigued and inspired by the deck that you put out earlier this year, and which spoke about 2026, the year of no change, and year where everything changes. So, yeah, welcome to the show and let's talk about this.
Hi, Subhanjan. Well, it's a pleasure to be with you again. Thanks for having me, actually. Yeah, I mean, I think this is becoming sort of a regular appointment, you know, that we're having. So, yeah. I'm also happy that you enjoyed the you know, what I wrote. And well, let me tell you, this deck actually comes because after I read reports and studies about 2026 economy, geopolitics and all that, and you know what's happening, you know, people and companies still absorbing the shock of Trump 2.0, I guess. So, well, I guess the this was, you know, when I read these reports, and I was thinking about 2025, you know, I think, you know, now the big disruptions maybe are behind us, say from the AI, safe from AI, because I think that's another big disruption, in my opinion. But their consequences, the consequences of these disruptions continue. You know, so what I see is, you know, a world where protectionism, geopolitical rivalry, economic fragmentation are becoming, let's say, permanent. You know, they are features that are not temporary, you know. So I think, you know, also the problem with tariffs, you know, and the focus on reindustrialization, which is obviously backed by the AI investments, et cetera, China, who's, you know, doubling down on technological self-sufficiency, et cetera, et cetera. So I think now Europe sits in also in a narrow space, you know, between these two, you know. And, you know, I think that this creates a little bit of a complex of problems, you know, complexity, you know, for the environment, for the companies, you know, for the investors, above all, okay? So I think, I mean, when you talk, and, you know, after this reflection, you know, after reading these reports and studies, I thought, how can this affect or influence the trade show industry, you know? And as what I say in the deck is that the events industry is not in trouble. I think the contrary is true, because I'm visiting shows and I will be in another show next week. So, I mean, this is something, and I see the people, I see the companies, I see crowds of people, registrations are full, you know, of persons, you know, willing to visit the show. And this is obviously not what I wanted to say, but I think, you know, that the events industry maybe is repositioning, you know, so it's changing. And I think we obviously have to adapt to that change. Okay. So that's basically, you know, what I think. And to sum up, I would say this is an year of adjustment, rebalancing, repositioning, kind of that.
So is this perspective for all trade shows, or is it very Europe-centric thought process as of now?
I would say this is global. I would say this is global. And one of the things that there's one, the title of an article which written by Chris Skeeth, which is director and CEO of UFI, which was stuck on my mind, and it says, certainty is our luxury, and uncertainty our greatest strength. And I believe that. I mean, certainty today is really a luxury, but you know, we have to live with uncertainty. And I think that event planners, event organizers are now intentionally working on that and just programming their shows based on uncertainty, because they, you know, don't know what's going to happen. Think about the U.S., for example. I mean, in the past few days, the new UFI barometer, you know, is out, you know, and I think it says, you know, something very interesting. So it really forecasts growth again, but, you know, still there are issues about, you know, geopolitical tensions, uncertainty, et cetera, et cetera. So I think this is something that we have to be very careful about. And when you ask me if this is just Europe, no. I think also because Europe now sits, as I was saying before, sits in the middle, you know, with India, for example, who's, you know, which is becoming one of the really important and key countries, if I can say. Well, India is a continent, in my opinion, but is, you know, is a country, and I know most companies and also organizers are looking, or already there, you know, and investing in there, etc. So I think, you know, this is a global. I think it is a international issue, and I think everybody should be aware of that.
Right, right. So let's if we move through that deck, which is what I thought I would do to keep it simple for you.
Yeah.
Your second slide talks about the comfortable lie.
Yeah.
So tell us, what is the illusion and what is the reality?
Okay. I think, the thing is that I think you know this. I mean, we are all happy because when you go to a show, you see all these people, they're happy, stands are full, crowded, people negotiate. They're just doing a lot of business, et cetera, et cetera. But I think, as I already told this to you, I think, and wrote maybe in our LinkedIn exchange, I guess, and that, trade shows are no longer just places where companies exhibit, in my opinion, So they have become, as I say, my deck, economic infrastructure, So there are spaces where actually the we try to reduce uncertainty. And especially now, because we are in the era of AI, we trying to reduce the fake news. We try to strengthen credibility because we are seeing people face to face. So I think, this is something that, as you were asking me, the illusion, and the comfortable lie. Because I think, that companies do not attend for visibility anymore. I mean, they want to attend now for strategy. And this is confirmed by a few clients I spoke some time ago, because they said everything is changing. Supply chain is changing. Their vendors are changing. So this is something, that is changing. So that's it. I mean, we are comfortable in one way, but on the other side, we know that also companies have to get a different approach when they go to the exhibitions. And those who are not doing that, they will probably fall behind, So I think, what's happening is that trade show are now becoming, also because of what I said before, the orientation point in a complex global system, and especially when you think about data, when you think about meeting people. I mean, this is something, think about what's happening when we go to the airport or to the ports or to any public places, and I think, also because trade shows are the places where now you can do business, when you can meet people face to face. So I think that's a big difference. So the illusion is that we have, obviously, we are happy with what's happening, but we have to be aware of the other big issues are. I mean, like the ones I explained before.
Right, right. And let's move to the next one, which is where you talk about the inconvenient truth, right?
Okay.
I think you touched upon a bit of it as you spoke now. Uh-huh. But exhibitions are no longer mirrors of the market. They're arenas where these shifts become visible first. Actually, they're...
No, because, there's something I forget to mention before. I mean, when you talk about the comfortable lies or the surface, because I think, that, as I said, the economic, geopolitical and decision-making context is completely different, So I think, today, we do not just consider, I do not just consider show as the places, where companies exhibit, they become economic infrastructure, and that's the thing. So let's just look just beneath the surface and not just, and in terms of the inconvenient truth, yes. I mean, as I was saying, because before we were talking about Europe, we were talking about continents and shifting, global interest. Yes, I think, this is actually the issue, because now you have supply chains moving, you have countries positioning themselves also strategically. So I see, for example, In many shows, I see the many country pavilions now, you know, even maybe better or more than before. Now, for example, we have an upcoming show in Spain next month, and I see there's a very, very important, big participation with national pavilions, you know. So when you say that, there's also a new geography, you know, maybe coming up, which is forming in real time because of all these geopolitical issues, etc. So maybe you don't have maybe one country, but you have others, for example. I mean, Russia's not going to be there, but you have other countries, they are struggling, but they will also make an effort to be there. So I'm pleased to see this. Okay.
So this realignment, do you think that it is actually sort of breaking down the old alliances and new terms are coming into play, or is it just shifting gears, so to say, that, okay, look, we will work together, but the way we were working is going to change? Where exactly is the change happening?
Well, I think the change is happening. It depends. Also, it depends on the shows. I mean, maybe this is not affecting all shows. Maybe you have B2C, which can still be working, but maybe B2B is not the same. I mean, you can't have the same. Well, for example, you can say that you have more vertical shows, niche shows, you know, that are taking place because organizers see that they are worth. I mean, it's worth, for example, creating a clone or a duplicate of their show in a region, which is easier for the people neighboring countries, you know, getting there, you know, for example. But I think that supply chains, for example, regionalize. There are, geopolitical blocks, for example. So I think for this reason, I think the trade shows remains the environments where business should rebuild trust. Because actually that's the place where we have to create trust. And this reminds me of a recent coaching session I delivered. And, I was presenting statistics. I mean, I was comparing the reasons why companies exhibit or go to shows now versus 10 years ago or 5 years ago. I don't remember. And curiously, but not so much, or surprisingly, is that, I mean, the fact that, to close business deals, you know, or just to sign orders or make deals during the show, I mean, was it in the last position, you know? And I said, this is no surprise to me. You know why? Because shows are not the place where you sign an order, where you sign a business, but are the places where trust is created, where credibility is reinforced. And I think that that's one of the main issues, because sometimes, I mean, people still think, you know, that they have, and I know this because when I have these coaching sessions, there are these managers asking me, I mean, what shall I have to do? I mean, when my boss asked me about the ROI, you know, so I think we already discussed about this. And I think this is absolutely true. And I think now, because of what's happening also with the AI, I guess this is even more important for trade shows, fairs, events, I mean, to be the places where trust is built or rebuilt, if the case, you know? So we have to be very conscious about that. And I think this is sort of a fragmented system, you know? And then because of this fragmentation, I think maybe exhibition can become coordination points. Kind of that. No?
Right.
I hope I explain myself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the complexity and the opportunity.
Yeah.
It's the face-to-face is the opportunity. The in-person piece is the opportunity. Otherwise, why do you go to a trade show?
Exactly. Why do I spend so much money, for a trade show? Yeah.
Yeah, because you want to do it face-to-face. I mean, it's obvious.
Yeah.
But how we tackle that, and how we, of course, take into account the other constraints and other challenges that the current environment is throwing at us is going to be the key.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about tariffs. I mean, I know that's your next slide, but you touched upon it at the beginning.
Yeah.
And this whole thing started with Trump 2.0. How do you see it actually impacting in the ground? What is it that you see, and what do you envisage the long-term impact of this?
I think this is an issue for maybe, for the time being, but not for all the countries, maybe.
Yeah.
I see, for example, my American colleagues and friends are concerned about that, I was actually exchanging some or responding, answering some LinkedIn survey about that, or commenting what we think about what's going to happen to the U.S. trade shows, if the European companies or other companies are scared of what's happening. And I think, it is an issue. It is an issue. I do not think it's going to be affecting a lot, but people are seriously, and especially in Europe, considering other markets, as I was saying before, So maybe because they need to diversify production, because maybe they already have the distributor in the United States or in a specific market. So I think there's an increasing demand also in emerging hubs, as the one we mentioned before, India, for example, Southeast Asia, also Mexico, Central Europe also. So I think because of this, maybe if you are thinking to exhibit, the same places, the same trade shows in 2026, maybe because of this, you change your mind and maybe you want to go to another market, you want to enter another market instead of going to the United States or instead of going to the Middle East or whatever. I think this is not the only, tariffs are not the only reason, in my opinion, but obviously in for some reasons they can be, especially if this political situation or political complication continues, because this is something that I every day you see there's something new, and you can expect a news about Ukraine, Russia, Iran, or whatever, so you never know, or you have maybe to change your plans accordingly, So again, I don't think this is going to be, because I think, the trade show industry, events industry has been resilient always. I think they can overcome even this situation. Well, what's going to happen is maybe some regions maybe are going to maybe be more affected, others less. So I think this is something that we have to, in any case, to take into consideration and to be very, I'm sure the companies are doing this. And I understand, that maybe budgets might be shifting. Maybe some companies will shift and put more money on digital marketing instead of a trade show,
Yeah. And it also, in a slightly oblique way, it also impacts attendees, right? So with the tariff, there are also changes in the visa regimes and how quickly or how efficiently it gets issued. So people who actually used to go to some signature shows, like, for example, Mobile World Congress in Europe or to say CES, lot of this movement is also going to get impacted, which in turn will impact the exhibitors' willingness to go there.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. And obviously, well, for example, when you think about the Americans, of course, I mean, this is not just exhibitors, but also visitors. I mean, if I want to or have plans to go to the States to visit, maybe shows, maybe, or just take advantage of a trip there. Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm going to think about it, of course.
Yeah. And in some ways, honestly, it's also, I mean, I hear about countries in Europe or European Union where it's very difficult to get visas these days.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know to name countries. That's not the objective.
It's true. This has always been like a complicated issue.
Yeah. So, and it's even getting more complex. That's what I'm going to say.
For example, China, maybe also India, for example.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. This is, I know. I mean, here, I think embassies are struggling with that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break.
AI is changing. It's changing the way also event planners and helps. Of course, I mean, we don't have to see AI as an enemy. You know, we have to see AI as an accelerator.
You are listening to a Bizcast Audio Original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode. How do you think AI is going to impact the industry this year?
It's already impacting very, very deeply, in my opinion. This new barometer from UFI says 87% now, I mean, of... The events industry, I don't remember now exactly the statistics, but I mean, are now using AI. Obviously, here, I would also open a parenthesis because when you say using AI, I mean, I use AI, but you can also say, I mean, am I using AI properly? Well, that's the big question in my opinion. And if I read, for example, stats in Italy, I read that 3 out of 10 managers can, you know, use AI or use AI properly, even in the company as you know, an enterprise. So maybe the Americans, the Anglo-Saxons are, you know, they are the early adopters and they are actually going very, very quickly on that topic. Mm. But I think here we are lagging behind a bit. So when you say that, in any case, AI is changing. It's changing the way also event planners and helps. Of course, I mean, we don't have to see AI as an enemy. You know, we have to see AI as an accelerator, you know. So I think this is something, I don't want to talk about the ethics about this, you know, and about what's happening because it depends on government, et cetera, et cetera. I know and read all the discussions and debates in the US, in Europe about AI. So I think we are still, I mean, far from the consistency, you know, that requires maybe, but I don't think it will be possible because each country will probably do things their own way, you know. So, I mean, it's not something that we can, I mean, start worrying now, I guess, you know. Well, we are already worried, or we were worried, and you know, now people are thinking about AI because they're losing jobs, you know. And I think this maybe might be the case if you don't learn how to use AI. Well, that's a big issue. That's the big issue I see. And so you have to see AI as a support, as an accelerator. I would never think that AI replaces the human creativeness and the human. That's why we go to trade shows, by the way. And so I think we have to learn, to use it the right way.
And in all fairness, a lot of AI is also hype. The actual impact. So lot of AI, what is being passed off as AI is good old NLP and machine learning. It is not really AI.
I agree.
It's a good old, decision tree based. I mean, half the chatbots, they're not really chatbots, nothing AI about them.
I agree.
Just have been fed 100 things and depending upon what you ask, and they're prompting you the questions as well. So it's pretty much linked. I mean, if you use just a basic, intelligence, you will know.
Yeah. I cannot tell you the amount of the number of emails I receive about AI, people proposing AI to me from Italy, from US, from everywhere. And you should be on a course every day, about AI, about right. Prompting. They're sending you like 500 prompts, that you can use and you can't miss, And my goodness, Souvenir, I don't know. How can we do without that?
That's true. Always there'll be gold diggers, right? People who will try to sell you the shovel with the carrot of, okay, go there, go dig there, take my shovel, you will find gold.
Absolutely. And if you don't use this, you're lost. Just forget about business. this is crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But as you say, hype, but there's too much hype. Too much hype about AI, and I think we also have to, to regulate that. They should regulate that properly. Yeah. But I think again, this is a long story, and I don't think it will be solved shortly. So
that's true. It is definitely a shift. There is no two ways about it. What it does, what it actually delivers. We spoke about 2025 being the year of the agentic AI. Nothing happened really.
you're talking about agents, AI agents. I don't know. I don't know how to. Well, I have to say I didn't try. I didn't try to use them, but I maybe they become a resource. I don't want to use it for now. I'm honest.
Yeah. Well, people have these ideas and the ideas and the technology needs. So we are still between science fiction and science. We are sort of going back and forth in that. That's that's what's happening.
Agree.
The next topic you have touched upon it earlier in our talk today about the uncertainty in the operating environment, right?
Yeah.
So you have three core pillars there. Shorter decision cycles, higher pressure on ROI, and less tolerance to generic forms. Let's talk about these three very briefly. Where do you see the decision cycles are getting shorter? How are people actually defining ROI? Because that's one big, big, what should I say, black box for everybody. Yeah. Nobody wants to talk about ROI.
No. I think.
But they want to discuss ROI without talking about it. You know what I mean?
I know. We already discussed about ROI. If you want, we can just have we repeat something about ROI. No, let me answer your first question. I think there are, in my opinion, there are three big things. The first is that we are like, we have to make a fast and more nervous decisions, in my opinion, because companies commit late, especially for organizers, because companies commit later, but when they do, they expect clear value. So this is one of the things, in my opinion, that I see. Then we have this massive pressure, as you said, on ROI, because every dollar has to make sense. But again, here, if we open a parenthesis again, shall we talk again? And first of all, let me just make a step backward, because I remember having written something about ROI in an article. I think it was in Italian this time. And I was saying, can we all agree to have one ROI or one, you know, well, the parameters that measure the ROI are the same, because I see, well, I mean, sometimes the ROI is not, I mean, measured in the same way, you know? So I say, can we all agree on the ROI? This is the first question I remember I was writing in that article. Second, when we talk about the ROI, are we sure that all companies, of course, the ROI is very important, is key. When you go to a show, you want to measure the results, of course. That we already said it, I don't know how many times. So, but is that the only measurement we want to just consider? Or shall we consider maybe the experience, the objective, the relationship, and again, the brand awareness, et cetera, et cetera? Because I think that's a point, that's an issue, you know, because I can't be, obviously I go to a show, but first time, maybe I do not have big expectations because it's my first time and I go there, you know, but what is my expectation? I mean, just to meet people, get contacts, leads, and then maybe convert them in 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, whatever, right? So, but this is not, I mean, ROI in this case is not measurable until I have made my first, you know, I have converted my first lead, you know? So this is something I think the ROI, there is a massive and excessive, in my opinion, pressure on this. And this is something that I see, I can also see in the companies, you know, because they are under a lot of pressure. And I think this is sometimes it causes anxiety, it causes burnout and all that, you know? So I think this is an issue. And the other thing I see, and goes back to what I was maybe telling you before, about the events, which, I mean, generic events, those who are not obviously giving you results, and results based on what I was saying before. I mean, not just ROI, but also, I mean, context, leads, et cetera, experience, et cetera. So I think, I mean, today I see that some of the shows I have seen, there are kind of, from 1 year to another, are copy-paste, you know? They don't change much. What they do, you know, what they do, they're looking for attendees from other countries, you know? Mm. For countries, maybe they haven't had attendees in a long time. So maybe they call you and say, hey, can you help? I mean, we need attendees from Middle East. Well, I don't know. I mean, we can try. But you understand. I mean, I think so. Also, I think event organizers have to just, you know, take this into consideration. And last but not least, that's the reason why I think they are creating this duplicates. I mean, this clones, you know, in regions like, I don't know, in India, like in the Middle East, or in other countries, or in Europe, you know, because I think this, you know, niche events are working and are, you know, maybe just giving, you know, the, obviously they take advantage of the brand name, they take advantage of the organization because, you know, it's you know, in a way it's to consolidate, I mean, what you already did in a country, in another country, you know, so in another region, better than country, okay? So I think to sum up, I would say that today an event should help companies to reduce the uncertainty, and that's why I was telling you at the beginning that organizers are already working on that, and they're intentionally working on that because they knew uncertainty is behind the corner, you know, because, I mean, anything can happen. Maybe you organize a show in a month and something is going to happen in, you know, in the geopolitical situation, and then you have, you're lost, you know, maybe then you won't have, you know, your attendees coming from Europe or from another country. And so you have, or they have, to build strategic relationship, and, you know, and I think this is something, I mean, that you or event planners need to consider attentively.
Right. You are also looking at, so while the core value proposition of the events and trade shows remain, which is having a neutral ground to meet, meeting physically face to face, building trust, it is also sort of being under this pressure of the morphing globalization scenario, right? So from COVID, we had a rethink about globalization. I mean, yes. Is globalization good? Finally, should we bring the supply chain closer home and so on and so forth? Yes. How do you see this actually changing?
You know, I think this goes back to what we were saying. I mean, because you're talking about uncertainty. When you talk about uncertainty, I talk about risk.
Yeah.
So the question may be, I could ask an organizer today is not maybe, for example, how much does the show cost? But does the show help me reduce the uncertainty or the risk when I'm there? So the risk of losing money or, you know, wasting my money. And as I was saying before, I think event planners, I think, have the tough job today to do. Which is what I was saying, you know, and they have the possibility to do that because AI is helping, because technology is helping, because they can provide business match. They can provide, all the data tools, they need. I mean, I receive and you receive all these electronic tickets, you know, on your phone, etc. So I think that there's a way to help and reduce, you know, uncertainty. Obviously, pricing maybe is still an issue. It depends on, obviously, on the country or the region where you go on the show, where you go, because prices, as you know, have increased a lot. And not just prices, because the other thing that most, for example, small and medium companies do not consider is the fact that the trade show expenses, I mean, are actually relatively small compared to the rest. You know, if you go internationally, if you go to another country, I mean, it's true. I mean, you can spend like $5,000, $10,000 for the stamp, but then you have all the cost, extra cost, I mean, for travel, trip, accommodation, hotel, meals, and all that. So most of the times you do not consider. And when you take all this, you know, into the picture, then you can see, I mean, that the pricing is an issue, you know. So sometimes we have to explain and to educate again exhibitors, I mean, about this, because they always think about, I mean, the show itself, all the space, well, that's too much. Yeah, okay, but yeah. Okay, let's talk about that, but let's also talk about, I mean, the other costs. So what's your budget and what kind of budget have you, and what is the strategy? Because that's the other important thing, Subanyan. I see that most companies today, they are just, I mean, going to a show one shot, you know, they don't have a strategy. And this is what I always say, even in my coaching sessions, I mean, you have to have a strategy, not just go to a show one shot. I recently coached four company startups. Some of them were startups, but I think they still, I mean, have to learn because they very rarely go to exhibit a trade show. So, but I told them, and you have to have a strategy. Maybe first year is 2 shows, attending 2 events or going visiting other 2, but you can't just, you know, go to one show and that's it, you know, and then stop and don't have any plans. So you have every year you have to have a strategy, you know. So I think this 2026, in my opinion, is challenging, but it also has opportunities, you know. And I think the exhibitions and events, you know, are the ideal platforms, you know, where companies can find, you know, real business opportunities, especially when we were talking about before. I mean, because they are afraid of the AI, etc. But also, I mean, they have to be aware of what's going on. So the uncertainty and the risk, tariffs, pricing, and all that. So I think this is something I also considered when I wrote my deck.
Right, I agree. And I think the key is that the core value proposition of building trust, physically being in a space with your vendors and your buyers, and that stays. There are these other external influences that you have to be aware of and see how it is impacting, and also have a strategic plan in place, which is not, we'll go to that exhibition.
Absolutely. There's one more thing which we forgot to say.
And
it's digital marketing. You know,
right.
I was used to listen. You know, we don't go to that show because we invest everything in digital marketing. And I said, so what? I mean, digital marketing is part of your daily activity, you know. And when you go to a show, digital marketing has got to be complementary to that. I mean, if you don't use digital marketing, but guess what? I mean, digital marketing is a support, is something that you have or you can use to infiltrate shows. And then now, you know, what I do is also explaining how to use digital marketing in for trade shows, you know, or when they go to trade shows, you know. Social media marketing, same story. I mean, that's to have a plan, to have a calendar of what they do. But all this, you know, has to be integrated, you know, when you do the trade shows. And believe me or not, I found myself teaching branding and storytelling recently, and because I love storytelling, of course. But you know, this is one very important part, and I see that company are not using storytelling properly. You know, maybe because they're just very generic. I mean, but they don't tell. I mean, they tell who they are. I mean, we established in 1997, but they don't explain the reason why, or they don't. And I said, the first question I always ask is, why did you found your company? Why did you set up your company? And then, you know, from there, Subbanian, sometimes I also ask this question to the show teams in the exhibition organizations. I asked a show manager once, can you explain to me the why of your show? No answer. So I'm sorry. I don't want to be disrespectful.
No, of course.
Yeah, but sometimes, I mean, it's important to really to explain, you know, why. And also, this is not just for companies, but it's for shows or for everybody. And I always remember, you probably saw the Simon Sinek viral video with his Start With Why, you know. And I think everybody should have his why.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos, and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit tradeshowengage.com. That is tradeshowengage.com.
Marco, thank you so much for walking us through your very interesting deck. I think it covers a lot of ground, and one would do well to keep it close as the year progresses.
So Banyan, I'm writing another book. This time, first version would be in Italian, and it's about a subject that I really care much, because you know, it's about global partners. It's the title is actually Global Partners, and it talks about how to set up international sales networks, especially for event planners or for a big organization, well, not big organization, for organization in general. So the first version is in Italian. Then this time, I think I will also translate this in English. Well, it was the book. My book was in English first. Then I'm also thinking maybe that I should translate it in Italian. But this later. Now I have this one coming, and then I will probably publish it first in Italian and then in English.
And when do you expect it to be ready?
I don't know, maybe next month or maybe later in between, I think, March and April.
Okay, lovely.
But it's in Italian, the first version. So I have to work now. I have to start working on the English version.
Whenever you're ready, you're welcome back on the show to talk about the book.
Yes.
And the thoughts around that.
But be ready, because I will probably publish a new deck.
Okay.
Which is about, I don't remember now if the title is from trends to strategic forces or something like that, because now okay. Everybody's talking about trends, but all these trends are, just going like, in the air. And so I'm trying to, just see if I can put something, which is more realistic, so to speak.
Sure.
I don't know if I, will reach the objective, but I'll do my best.
Yeah, whenever you're ready, let me know, and I'll be happy to have another chat with you.
Okay.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics, and strategies to leverage the first-party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a BizCast original podcast and is produced for Pitchling, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.